What's up, everybody? It's episode number 83 of the Nitro Beer Beardcast. I'm your host, Mr. Wes Gardner. Right over there, we have Mr. Brian Belita.
I'm Brian Belita, and I'm rated 5 out of 5 stars by GavinFromer.com.
Uncle Larry's Wig Emporium.
Man, that was my best rating. I'm glad I got that one from Uncle Larry's Wig Emporium.
That's a rough one to get because their press junket is serious.
They're very prestigious.
Yeah.
They're the Famitsu of... What's the one with all like the out of 40 scores?
Yeah, that's Famitsu.
That is Famitsu. Yeah.
They're also incredibly corrupt because they sell their reviews.
No.
Yeah.
That's not a thing that happens in gaming.
Yeah.
Especially on box art.
Nope.
They openly sell their reviews.
And over here we have Mr. Mark Bradshaw.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? 10 out of 10. 5 out of 5. One of the greatest podcasters ever.
That's right.
5 out of 5, must own podcaster. Podcaster
of
the year.
Which one? 10 out of 10 or 5 out of 5? One could be
10 out of 10.
Between 90 and 100%, and the other could be between 80 and 100%.
Yeah.
Or is your 10 out of 10 rating rated 5 out of 5?
Well, it's a 10 out of 10 from Game Informer, so I figure that's probably like a 5 out of 5 out of actual reputable organization.
I see. So. That's what we should start doing, though, guys, is start reviewing reviews.
Yeah, I discussed that ages ago. Yeah.
10 out of 10.
We've also discussed having two more people on this podcast to introduce.
Yeah, that's right. Like right over here, we got Matt Pierce.
Hey, I'm rated 10 out of 5 out of Mathematics Quarterly.
Man, how'd you pull that?
Dang.
Imaginary numbers.
What PR person did you call to get that?
You just said 5 out of 20 out of Mathematics Quarterly.
Missed opportunities.
Dang. And right there we have Mr. Imran Khan.
I'm 3D compatible.
Oh.
I rate that 3 out of D.
Are you also actual size?
Definitely.
See, everyone focuses on the reviews, but the unnecessary logos at the bottom are just as nice.
Yeah, that's that. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, the new...
Hold on, I'm going to read this verbatim. All right, here we go. I'm going to give volume and excitement depending on the size of the font on this. So here we go.
This is the Batman Arkham City Game of the Year Edition. They just released a box art.
Xbox 360 Game of the Year Edition, 10 out of 10! 5 out of 5, one of the greatest games ever made, period, G4TV.com. Batman Arkham City. Bonus content includes Harlequin Quinn's Revenge, Batman Year One, download redeemable from Xbox Live only, expires March 31st, 2013, internet connection required, 5 out of 5, a must-own GamePro, Game of the Year, Metacritic, Teen, content rated by ESRB, 3D compatible game, DC Comics, Rocksteady, WB Games.
Ugh. And it doesn't seem so bad when you read it, and you're like, okay, a lot of good scores, sure, but then you look at it, and Batman's barely on the box.
Right, it's like Batman's being punched in the face by all these ratings.
It's like he's being pushed out of the frame by the logos of other magazines. And
by his arch-nemesis, the reviewer.
The actual game title is like tiny and pushed away to the side.
Yeah. The actual logo and the game title are roughly as large as the font, as the entire block of text for some outfit called G4TV.com.
We got to get our website on there.
I think the ESRB logo is actually bigger than the Batman logo.
And it's, as bad as this is, you know they're going to do the exact same thing for the PlayStation 3 version and also put Move support somewhere on there.
Oh man, why doesn't this one have Kinect support? That's what I want to know.
Just scream swear to me at the screen.
Right. Flail around as you fight these battles.
Can I tell Kinect to please load up of Arkham Asylum instead? Because that would be pretty great Kinect compatibility.
Oh, but this, it does come with Year One, right? Which is... something nobody wants.
You know what? That note, you can't load up Netflix from a game. Like, you know how Quick Play can just jump to like an XBLA game?
Yeah.
You can't load up Netflix from that.
It requires too much processing power, bro.
I think it's just something they just never... They designed their apps some different weird way, and I guess that doesn't count as something that's launchable from the game.
I guess they don't expect people who, like, use their Xbox to play Netflix to actually use their Xbox to play Xbox games.
Which is apparently what's happening. People use it more for Netflix and, like, ESPN than video games.
Yeah, the vast majority of Xbox 360 users are using it as, like, a set-top box. Which I guess works if they're actually making money off the box itself.
I think that was their whole intention from the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, it totally was. They've been trying to do this since web TV back in the day.
So that does kind of make them suckers, since the PlayStation 3 will do that for no monthly charge, and so will the Wii.
And play Blu-rays.
You know, I keep having these video ideas, and I never execute them, but I'm thinking what needs to happen is that we need to take, like, the Batman Arkham City trailer or just get some footage from in-game, and then every time Batman punches someone, just like the old Adam West Batman, have one of those, and it spins up on the screen, except it's all of these box quotes.
Right.
10 out of 10! 5 out of 5!
By the way, it's the original idea. You people can't steal that. It's ours now. You owe us money if you use it.
Well, and to tie it back to something a little bit earlier, what was the name of that show you linked, Imran? Of, for us in the chat, like Bad Influence. It's an old UK show from like the mid-90s based on like video game reviews. And on one episode, they reviewed, you know, Super Return of the Jedi. And they complained that there were too many sequels in the games industry in 94. It's like, what the fuck has changed? Nothing.
And the very first thing they complained about before they start the actual review. It's like, I really hope this is the last one.
That's kind of weird, because the entire point of like having Star Wars video games is having like the whole series. It's like, were they pissed off when the Empire Strikes Back video game came out, because that was kind of a predictable path?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, because they did the same exact like niggles aside type of reviews that everybody does nowadays, and it's like literally nothing's changed. Not a single thing has changed.
They were trying to estimate how powerful the N64 was by looking at Killer Instinct Arcade. So, yeah, literally nothing has changed. They just do the same thing now with PCs.
Yeah. Oh, it's so
speaking of unnecessary rage at sequels, what's with everyone getting completely pissed off that Nintendo gave them everything they wanted in a new Super Mario Brothers game?
Yeah. I saw that too, and I was like, "This, what bizarro land is this?" Nintendo seems to work on this function of being reverse of everybody else, and I mean that literally, in the fact of, okay, normally, whenever a popular video game is announced, Prototype 2, oh boy! And then the more information that comes out, the less excited and more bitter people get, oh fuck! And then they'll buy the game, I guess this game's okay, and then 2 weeks later they'll hate it. Nintendo works exactly the opposite. Oh, another Mario. Aren't they fucking done with this shit already? And then 2 weeks go by. Another Koopa Kid's in it. And then people start getting more excited. And then, oh, you could go side-scroll in it. It has the raccoon tail and you can fly. It's like, oh, fuck. And then
anti-Sonic cycle.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, Nintendo works backwards. And I don't know how they do it. This is why they're successful. How do they do this?
Like, I went to that thread of people complaining about it, and they were saying, you know, oh, it's probably going to be fun, but it's still going to be ugly. And I'm like, oh, so it's going to be fun.
Oh,
like, yeah, but it'll be ugly. I'm like, okay.
It's probably going to be one of the best portable games of the year, but I think it should be a more advanced graphics.
It should look real, like real Mario. I wanted a real guy.
So I want to go back. Sorry, were you talking about some 1994 game just now, Wes?
Yeah, that show, I need to find that link.
Oh, right. Okay, so I ran downstairs real quick because one of the things I recently, when purging a bunch of my old stuff from my parents' house, I got like a bunch of old game manuals, and one of the things I got was the Comprehensive Games Guide to Over 400 Games, the Ultimate Games Encyclopedia from Computer and Video Games Magazine, 1994, Volume 1, A to L.
A to L.
A to L.
Chronicles 1.
Now, computer video games, of course, the magazine that real gamers need, I might say. So I just wanted to read this review for Beast Warriors for Mega Drive by Riot Games. And it was rated graphics 36%, sound 24%, Gameplay 37%, value 5%.
Oh.
Yeah, it did not review very, very well. But so here we go. Another game that has only ever been available on import, thankfully. Oh, we're so cruel, aren't we? But Beast Warrior certainly doesn't deserve the CVG soft cushions treatment because, in truth, it is a monster wrestling game which has very little going for it. At first glance, the monster graphics look interesting, but keep watching with your eyes and you'll see how pathetic the animal's action
is. Keep watching with your eyes!
How pathetic the animation is. The real killer, though, is the gameplay. These brutes can only throw a couple of punches and kicks, as well as perhaps one special move which is incredibly tricky to pull off because you have to be in exactly the right position before it'll work. To make things even worse, the control response is so ropey that getting to do anything is all more down to luck than skill. It was a good idea, but Beast Warriors turns out to get to be a truly dull game. Fortunately, it's very difficult to get hold of these days.
So he writes for Game Informer now?
He must. I don't know who compiled this. But yeah, I mean, it's about the size of like any game manual that you get these days that fits in a DVD box.
Yeah.
But like quite thicker. It's 128 pages, like that old dingy yellow paper that everything used to come on. And man, it's got everything from Legends of Valor, King of Monsters 2, John Madden Football, The Jungle Book, Faceball. Wait, there was a game called Faceball?
Yep.
You've never played Faceball?
It was a first-person shooter, I think.
I don't think I ever played Faceball, no.
Oh, crap, I remember Faceball.
Yeah, it's a multiplayer first-person shooter for the SNES.
This is something I need to fix. Although I did play Fury of the Furries. Not what you'd think it was in first listen. It
was actually that a 2D fighting game?
No, it was like a 2D puzzle platformer. It was kind of what was the Vikings? Was it just called Vikings? Where like you had three different Vikings, they each had different abilities.
The Lost Vikings.
It was kind of like that in that you had different colored of these little kind of, they're basically fuzzballs that had different abilities, and you used them to get around. It was actually pretty good. I remember playing it on a computer.
So it just occurred to me right now that Trine is basically Lost Vikings.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
It is, and Lost Vikings, a lot of people don't know, was made by Blizzard.
It was, yeah.
But yeah, did you read that book with your eyes, Brian Belita?
I read it with my eyes.
Did you smell it with your nose?
Oh man, there's a game just called Dinosaurs. That's all it was called, Dinosaurs.
Now, in Beast Warrior's defense, we're talking about an isometric Genesis, like 1v1 fighter.
Are you thinking of Beast Wrestler?
No, it was the same thing. Beast Wrestler and Beast Warriors are the same game.
Is it? It can't be.
Yeah, Beast Warriors was the American version of Beast Wrestler. Because I love Beast Wrestler. The same thing. I think it was a different name in different territories.
Beast Wrestler, aka Beast Warrior. I love that game.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Computer and Video Games Magazine.
They're the authority. You can't like it anymore.
The 2D fighter I was thinking of was called Brutal Paws of Fury.
Oh, man, I remember that. Yeah. That game.
Oh man.
YouTube.
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring this up.
That was a straight up furry fighter.
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty much Jim Power. Yeah, so I don't know. So I have all these old manuals and I'm planning on doing something with them. I don't know. Apparently I make myself echo.
That's what the manuals do.
That's what the manuals do. So I just thought I'd share that, Jim.
That is awesome. I need to dig through my old refrigerator boxes full of magazines where I have, like, EGM Now. Hey, check out these new screens for Street Fighter Alpha 3.
I have an old cloth map from Ultima 7. That's pretty rad.
Hell yeah, dude. That might be worth something.
So
like I threw away all my magazines, but if I ever see them again, I'm sure I'm going to freak out and read them all.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think I threw away a majority of my magazines except for certain issues of EGM and every one of the Computer Gaming World.
Well, everyone has that one issue with EGM that was like the Doom Marine on the cover and it's like 300 pages.
Yeah, where it's like their holiday buyer's guide, but it was in the middle of July.
It wasn't even like that. That was like just the original how they used to do things back in like the mid-90s. Just every magazine was 300 freaking pages thick.
Oh, because
it was like 60 pages of ads, but still, that's a lot of actual content.
Yeah, and it was a lot of screens, and I mean, that's everyone on kind of our age bracket has that sort of nostalgia, because that's whenever that was the only source of information.
It was also the only source for getting like import games, because if you'd shuffle through the back of it, you'd always find this one really seedy like guy. I guess it's the same organization who were offering that you like trade in like your old games, and you get like, I don't know, like Ernest Evans for, straight from Japan, and just yeah. really. And they were selling games for like $80 in there when like you can go to like Super K. Well, I can get the same Super K.
Man, I remember going out of my way to get every game magazine that had something Final Fantasy on the cover. So for there was like 2 years there where I bought every magazine that ever came out, because Final Fantasy was.
You bought Time like 3 times.
Yeah, pretty much. I know there was an EGM that had a gold laced cover of Amano art. Mm-hmm. Like Amano made this cover just for EGM, and I bought like 2 covers.
Man. The only key magazine I kept was Next Generation magazine. I picked up at E3 1 year at it was a which was the first Super Nintendo Zelda.
Link to the Past.
The N64 Zelda.
Oh yeah,
Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina, yeah. It was that debut magazine. Apparently it was worth like $200 when it came out. So I picked up like 3 of them when I was out there.
Yeah.
Oh, good God, why is that worth $200?
It was worth $200 at the time. I don't know if it still is or not, but like the E3 version has like paper wrapping around it and stuff. So.
Oh yeah.
So in my hand right now, I'm holding my copy of Next Generation Presents The Big Fight, PlayStation versus Nintendo 64.
Yes, I remember that one exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's the one that has Crash Bandicoot on the cover, trying to pretend that it was like the mascot for the PlayStation 1, right?
Yeah, he probably has more relevance than Sonic right now.
Yeah.
Well, well, okay, we'll see more, but at least that generation, he certainly...
Oh yeah, that generation he totally did, because the Saturn just had jack shit. But he had 3 games and then just completely fell off the face of the earth. Where sadly,
I do love how
just
this
kept going.
This is an era before PR group or PR people for video game companies would actually give them screenshots. So everything arcade is like photo off a screen.
Yep, it has that weird like that scan line look to it.
Oh, it's terrible.
There was something else like that. No, it's a strategy guide. I got some of those old strategy guides, like for Breath of Fire 3 and Final Fantasy Tactics. And yeah, some guy just took a picture of his TV.
Yes, this is an actual PC game screenshot.
The actual strategy guides for like those JRPGs are confoundingly expensive. You guys actually like look through the prices of that stuff, but
I never got strategy guides like as an actual concept.
Yeah.
I think it was mainly because when I started actually needing help to play a game instead of just getting bored with it and never playing it again or powering through, it was GameFAQs era already.
Right. What I did is I always got it so, because I was a fairly big completionist. So like with Final Fantasy Tactics, there are certain things you could do with a chemist that I knew kind of what to do, but I needed a little bit more guidance and being like, okay, well, what does a chemist actually do? Like, how does he work? And then there's a whole chapter, here's how to beat the game just with using chemists. And I was like, oh boy. So that it was basically like a training regimen that I would go through.
There was a Final Fantasy IX strategy guide. This is the official one where it didn't have any actual strategies in it. What it said under each like area, like let's say you got a boss, and normally in most strategy guides it would tell you this is what you need to do to beat this boss. In the Final Fantasy IX strategy guide, it would say, here is the code, go to playonline.com and enter boss 5.
Yeah.
And it will have the strategy guide for you there. Keep in mind, this was 1999, 2000. Man. Yeah, it's got to be 2000.
That's some forward-thinking shit.
It's some backwards-thinking shit, because it was already GameFAQs, way past GameFAQs era.
Oh, right.
And also, you're paying like $20-$30 for a basically a pamphlet telling you a bunch of URLs.
Yes.
Skip the middleman.
It was amazing in how much it missed the point.
That's
so
kind of
like nowadays you buy strategy guides for art. So
yeah, pretty much. It's like
my brother actually got the Dark Souls strategy guide. It's a hefty, nice book, you know, as far as strategy guides go.
Well, Dark Souls is one of those games where like the strategy guide is actually useful because most of the game is hidden from you. Like that, like the Skyrim strategy guide, that would make sense because it would have tables, or like the Fallout 3 strategy guide, that makes sense because it tells you the side quests. But like Uncharted 3 has a strategy guide,
Walk
shoot. Shoot Why? More. Take cover.
Yeah. If missed, shoot again.
Yeah, if missed, shoot again. If you see a glowy part, jump at it.
Yeah. I will say I have a weird fascination with buying strategy guides for MMOs. Because those things go...
Okay, I've never done that. I've done some horrible things in this podcast before. Some reprehensible shit. I have never done that.
I think the timing of it was always also the best Gesundheit. Part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like you were so befawed that I bought MMO strategy guides that your body stopped functioning for a minute. You're like... Ah, blah, blah.
Oh. The great thing about like MMO strategy guides is like they're outdated the moment they hit shelves.
Yes, exactly. That's why I like them so much. It's like I have the original first printing of the World of Warcraft strategy guide. Yeah, so it's like, here's strategy guides to beat Onyxia. And I was like, I can beat Onyxia by myself now. And it talks about make sure all 40 people in your party have these items. And I'm like, bitch. I was like,
they never like buff up Onyxia so you couldn't do that, or is it still like its same power level?
Well, Onyxia is no longer even a enemy anymore. Like Onyxia is officially dead.
That's sad.
But yeah, basically an era gone by. But no, you can go back and you can still run Onyxia, like the whole Onyxia instance. But everyone's level 85 instead of level 60, so it's like, oh my, like Onyxia can't hit me at all.
Right.
So it's like, I'm going to go in and kill Onyxia in like 10 minutes.
With your staff, with your wizard.
Yeah, exactly. Which is just crazy to think about. But yeah, this episode is going to be a beer bag mailbag. All the questions from you guys, the audience.
Four of them.
I think Brian Belita has a majority of the questions.
I'm going to read them.
Yeah.
He has three of them.
He's going to sneeze them out.
I'm going to sneeze them out with my face.
With your mouth.
With my mouth eyes.
With your face right.
hole. Keep so watching with your mouth eyes.
Keep watching with your eyes and your face. So some of these questions, I think there might be one or two that were from last time that we didn't get to. But anyways, I'm just going to read them. They're going to happen. We're going to answer them. Our first question comes from Joe Malta, who last time asked us, what if Doritos were people? And Mark hates him.
Yeah.
But I defended him. So anyways, he asked, if you could be on Mars for a certain number of hours every day, how many would that be?
Here's the thing. Once you got to Mars, you'd be there for like 5 minutes, and then your head would explode.
Because you think you'd last 5 minutes?
I think you get 5 minutes out of Mars.
Well, here's the thing.
Before my head exploded.
What is there not a rule to where time works differently on Mars? Because it's a different distance from the sun?
No. I mean, No.
It doesn't work like
time.
That?
No. Time is pretty universal. You might be thinking gravity works different because it's, like, smaller.
Well, no, but I mean, like...
Oh, wow, that was, like, the most condescending thing I've ever heard.
Like,
you might be confusing time and gravity.
Gravity, no, because the day-night cycles are different.
Yeah, the Martian day, I think, is shorter.
Yeah.
Because it rotates faster.
So if you say
this, I mean, time's right. going to be, like, an hour is still going to be an hour.
Well, let's pretend we're talking Earth hours.
Earth hours, okay.
Earth time.
I thought you meant, like, you're on Mars. Oh, I've been here 10 minutes, but it's really been an hour.
However long before my eyes don't explode out of my head like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
That's my answer.
I'd say enough time to kind of take a look around, kind of see what's on my feet. You know, look at my feet, be like, oh, look at that. It's not made of cheese or whatever, and then leave.
Apparently there's vast surfaces of Mars that are just glass.
Whoa.
Hmm.
So that would be neat.
That would be neat. I'd go there, and I'd break it.
You kick it.
Fuck your planet.
Just kick the Mars.
Wait, you go into Mars, and you just look around for like a nice patch of moss or whatever, kind of like Martian life. You can find it and just cough all over it. It's like, fuck you, Martian life.
Now I know what Christopher Columbus feels like. I don't know what that means. Here, have this blanket, Martians. All right. So that was his question. All right. Now, our next question. We got a handful from Marco Polo.
Yeah.
Who is our official question asker. And one of his first ones is, will there ever be a beer bag mailbag episode where we ask the listeners questions or the readers questions?
That's a good idea. We'd have to organize that pretty extensively, though.
Well, there has been a goatee cast in the past. My God, man. been a goatee cast in the past where we had people actually submit recorded MP3s, files of themselves kind of taking a minute to talk about what their game of the year was. So we could feasibly do that.
We can go ahead and like just ask a question of our audience right now and then read the responses later.
That's also possible. I mean, but yeah, I mean, and of course you're always free to comment on our stuff.
Right. Yeah. We just that gets posted. Say, what was the best Sega console? And like how much better was Sega than Nintendo?
What was the best Atari console?
Fuck you.
So I don't know, that's something we'll try to figure out a kind of a clever way to do that. All right. So Marco's next question is, why you know love King of Fighters 13 and its 2D gloriousness?
It is a good looking game.
Because it's really complicated and I'm simple.
Right.
Because there are 13 of them.
Yeah,
good God.
This is the main issue. Like, this is fucking ridiculous. Someone needs to stop this.
Also, I cannot buy a $60 fighting game at this point. I'm too used to not doing it.
Yeah.
$60?
Pretty sure. Really?
At least it took them more than 13 years to get to 13 games.
That's true. That is a good point.
Probably be
they made, like, King of Fighters 1998, like, 100 times.
Yeah.
And then but, you if you count, like, the maximum games, like the 3D games, I mean, I imagine they could probably average out to one a year if you look at it.
Well, hey, there Amazon has it for 40. Maybe I'll buy it.
There should probably be a King of Fighters and Land Before Time crossover game.
All I want is for someone to say, okay, here's the one King of Fighters game you ever need to play in your entire life. Just buy that one and never have to worry about anything else.
That was 2002.
I mean, I've
wouldn't that
them.
Cause SNK to go bankrupt?
Again? Yeah.
I
don't care. They need to stop.
Various
companies in business. I'm sorry.
Would you stop doing awkward pauses? I keep trying to talk and then you start talking again. Jesus, Mark.
I'm just confused.
I'm just what was that? I'm sorry, huh? can you repeat? Mark, what are you? No, sorry, anyways. So I've played various King of Fighters games in their various iterations throughout the years, and I've enjoyed them. I mean, I'm sure a lot of us play a lot of games that we don't actually talk about or post about.
Right.
So, but certainly just from a visual perspective, I really appreciate the King of Fighters.
Yeah, it looks. That's probably the best looking fighting game on the planet right now. Is that one in the new Persona game coming out?
But there's a real good reason.
King of Fighters. Oh, go ahead, Matt.
As I say, there's a real good reason not to love King of Fighters 13 anymore, and at least for me, it's because it's there's no arcade near me that has it, and I don't live in a dorm anymore where people drop in to play fighting games.
Right.
Yeah. If when I lived in college, our dorm had an open door policy. You know, anybody who wanted to come in and play video games at any time of day could just come in and play video games. So, King of Fighters was in constant rotation there, but that was 7 years ago, so that's why.
Yeah.
What pisses me off about King of Fighters is that every time they make a King of Fighters is a time that they could have made a new Samurai Showdown, but they didn't.
Showdown.
Whatever.
Victory.
Samurai Showdown is like the best SNK glitch thing ever. Because how do you mess that up?
Right.
How do you keep it after like 20 years?
Shut I think up, once you Wiedenheimer. Start with it, just keep it up.
Imran, I have one word for you. Capcom.
Capcom. There was a recent one. I think I just become like completely desensitized to it though. That like there was some mistake in a PR or something like that. Maybe like Lost Planet trailers.
I mean, they've been using Capcom for a long time. How do they? That's like me when I spill on myself or like I'm eating and I just drop food on my lap. I'm like, I've been doing this for 20 some years.
I like how you call it.
How do I fuck it up?
I like how you call it. You spill on yourself like Grandpa made a boo boo.
All right. So that's fun. But yeah, I'm with you there, Matt. I mean, for me, and the same goes for like online fighting games. I don't know. For me, it's just such a thing that you just need to be there with a person to play a fighting game with them. Need. All right, next question. He also gives a fun fact. The creator of Street Fighter made the Fatal Fury, Art of Fighting, and King of Fighter series.
He also made, I think, Super Dragon Ball Z for the PS2 and a game called Earthseeker for the Wii.
That's a pretty solid resume.
Bitch, I look like Goku. All right. Marco Polo's next question is, would you eat at this ramen shop? If so, how would you like it? And he links to a video to someone else explain this.
Basically, the character Hardgay was from Japan. Well, he still is from Japan. But he was called in to help a ramen shop. He was like, have you guys seen that show Restaurant Impossible with Robert Irvine?
Is it like the same thing with, what was his name? Gordon Ramsay. Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, Gordon Ramsay was more about, like, fixing the, like, the food in the kitchen. And Robert Irvine's more about, like, okay, your place looks like an old 1940s restaurant, so I'm going to tear it down with a bulldozer. Like, that's what that is.
I hate old things.
Basically, Hardgay is called to help this little ramen shop, and he helps in only the way Hardgay can.
So for someone who may not know who Hardgay is, what would you tell them?
Wow.
He's hard, and he's gay.
Well, he is a Japanese spoof of gay culture.
I think. Have you ever seen the movie, God, what was it, Sacha Cohen's Bruno, I think?
Mm-hmm.
It's that, yes. But Japanese.
But right. Japanese. But it's not malicious. It's really weird. Like, whenever you explain it, people think, oh, this is really offensive. And then you watch it, and it's not that bad. And you're like, how did he get away with this? Like, how did he get away with... He wears, like, leather strap-on stuff, and, like...
He wears, like, a zip-up leather vest, so the sleeves are missing. Like, really short leather shorts, and then just a really gay hat.
Yeah, combat boots, and he has little handcuffs, and, like, all this stuff. And he'll go around to people, and he'll ask them how they like their ramen, hard or stiff. And it's hilarious. Like, for some reason, it's really funny. And normally,
when you have, like, a very sexually repressed culture, having right. that guy, yeah. like, gyrating in people's faces is... hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. And, like, even there's a bit, and a lot of people on YouTube commented on this, but he's, like, going and handing out flyers for this ramen shop in a little kid's playground area. And, like, here in America, he'd be shot. You know what I mean? Like, he'd be arrested, he'd be beaten, all this other stuff.
And then shot.
But, yeah, but then in Japan, like, they're like, ho-ho, silly Hardgay. You know what I mean?
He's so crazy.
Oh, And he's harmless, completely harmless. And the kids are, like, playing with him and, like, running and pushing him and stuff, and he's, like, dancing with them. It's hilarious. But yeah. Here in America, that would be so...
It is a really interesting dichotomy.
It's kind of fascinating. But I would eat at that ramen shop. I think it'd be hilarious to eat at that ramen shop.
Yeah, I would totally eat it, and I would take it... how would you take it?
It doesn't sound sanitary.
Oh, it is. Well, he says stuff like "Welcome to Hardgay's Ramen Shop," like he'll scream it at people as they walk in the door, and just that by itself, I'd be like, "Oh hell yeah!" And then I'd come in and order all this ramen and do the.
I would take my ramen soupy.
Soupy? Ugh.
Yes.
No, I like more noodle than broth. You know what I mean?
Depends on the broth.
Same noodle. Yeah. Same noodle, man. I want the noodles and not the broth. I'm not going to sit there and like drink my ramen like a fucking soup. And sit there and eat the noodles out.
That's your decision. Well, you eat the noodles and then you get the... Well, anyways. Yeah. Right. I would take my ramen visceral.
Visceral compelling.
Compellingly, yes.
If you're a fan of ramen shops, you'll like this ramen.
Yeah. That was Matt's answer on Twitter. I think it was the question was asked how hard and how gay.
Is it literally unique?
Yeah.
Next question. Marco Polo asks us, hype about Project X Zone? Question mark. And this is the first I had heard about this game. It's apparently a, is it Capcom?
Capcom, Bandai, and Sega. Or Bandai Namco,
like,
to be more accurate.
Like super mega crossover strategy RPG battle game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we saw this once before with like the Namco Capcom one that was god awful, right? It's basically the
it
exact same
awful. Style. It was just not. Amazing. It wasn't a particularly great SRPG, but it was banking more on fan service, and it did that pretty well.
I think now that I've seen what this game is, I'm unhyped. Like, I was hyped when I heard that there was going to be a crossover, and now it's over. Now that it's actually materialized.
Well, it's a really moot point because I'm pretty sure it's never coming.
I was about to say, what are the odds of it ever?
that super reminds me of early today. Imran posted the prototype 2, like top 11 reasons to buy prototype 2 video, And I think your comment, Imran, was, I remain unconvinced.
Yep. Because, like, the number one reason they showed was a big boss that took up an entire intersection, and I was like, nope, check it out. No more of this. Because that was, like, the worst part of Prototype 1. I don't care if it's exactly the same or completely different. Too much trauma.
Yeah.
Too much damage was done.
Yeah.
And this kind of brings about, with Project X Zone, yeah, it looks pretty neat, because I'm a fan of strategy RPGs anyway, but they showed a lot. I think they showed the trailer that's hitting YouTube and stuff now. They showed it at the Nintendo, what was it, the Direct event? Yeah, the...
It's a, like, quarter-yearly thing where they just talk about stuff.
A whole bunch
their
of
Nintendo
stuff.
Yeah,
and they showed another game, which I kind of did get excited for, until I realized, oh, wait, since this is an interesting idea, they'll never, ever bring it over to America, and that's Cul-de-Sat 3D. Is,
oh, yeah,
that strategy RPG that is kind of also a card collecting game all at once.
Didn't we get one of the Cul-de-Sat games?
I feel like there's an XBLA game.
I think there was an Xbox game, wasn't there? There was an Xbox Cul-de-Sat game. I almost paused that we got.
Yeah. Is there's, it the same?
It's Cul-de-Sat Saga. I'm trying to see if it ever came over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came over.
Yeah.
Is it the same series?
It says Cul-de-Sat, so maybe?
Well, I mean, that's the... That's just a word. It's like...
That could mean anything. Like, yeah. Anybody can use Cul-de-Sat.
It's the first entry for a Microsoft console in the Magic meets Monopoly game franchise.
What?
Okay, yeah. That's probably the same thing, then.
Magic.
Magic. But it looks cool. It looks like... has sort of that Ragnarok Online Final Fantasy Tactics visual style.
Well, and I think the closest... No, probably not even the closest. But I don't know. I'm just... What I'm thinking of comparably is... God, was it Tales of Eternia that I played on PSP?
Yeah.
Probably?
Yep.
I don't know. I'm just reminded of that from, like, the kind of 2D mixed with 3D and explosions and stuff.
Yeah, I just love that.
But I'm sure there's lots of stuff like that. But graphically, I think it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And Marco Polo's final question is, the Phoenix Force is coming to Earth. The Avengers believe it will destroy Earth, but the X-Men think it can rebirth their mutant race. Both teams willing to each other for their beliefs. Whose side do you choose? Also, who would win in each of these fights? Lightning Round answers is fine. And then he links to something that we probably all should have looked at beforehand, but we're going to look at now.
I'm with Beast.
Yeah, I'm with X-Men.
I think the only people who are even remotely sane in this whole thing are the ones trying to go into space to stop the Phoenix Force. I don't know if I could back Captain America just kidnapping... Hope Summers. That just kind of sounds fucked up.
Man, what a buster.
Yeah, because it sounds like the only way they'd be able to stop the Phoenix Force is to execute her.
Is Beast fighting Luke Cage?
No.
When did Beast become Lion-O? Except blue.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. That happened sometime when I stopped reading. Sometime after... I think sometime after M-Day.
Who is Beast fighting there?
I don't know.
Or is he just fighting a dude?
Are the Avengers supposed to have, like, 30 members? Because I remember there would be, like,
yeah,
five guys.
That happens.
Yeah, they have the Avengers, the Secret Avengers, and the New Avengers, I think.
Okay, so looking very closely at Beast, why is he wearing a skirt?
It's a kilt.
Are you going to tell him not to?
No, it's a tight leather skirt.
You're right. It's
that's
like
Luke
it's
Cage.
Like a, it is Luke Cage. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, he's kind of got, like, the pants on, but yeah, you're right. He's got, like, that little... I think, oh, God. I'm completely blanking on his name. Superman, really bad villain.
Darkseid.
It must be. Doesn't Darkseid have kind of the same skirt type thing?
I thought he wore, like, Mega Man underwear.
But I think this is beside the point.
Oh, you're right.
Darkseid is, like, an alien.
No, there are times where Darkseid does have that kind of, that weird, like, it's like a tunic. It's a tunic.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tunic, except without the top.
Yeah, I think with Beast, that's just bad drawing.
Yeah.
I think
some of these are pretty poorly drawn.
Yeah, like Gambit. Like
the Wolverine versus Cap, and just the derpiest face on Wolverine I've ever seen in my entire fucking life.
Yeah.
Wait, when did Juggernaut become Colossus?
Oh, actually, that happened. Yeah, he's been.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That when they needed to stop Colossus for fear itself.
I think one of my favorite ones
is... stop Juggernaut for fear itself. Magic got... Colossus to appeal to whatever deity it is that gives Juggernaut his powers and basically claim them, so thereby making the Juggernaut stoppable.
Got it.
I think my favorite one might be the the two girls. Who's the girl with the katana? I don't know this. I'm terrible.
Psylocke.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that one. And then like the Black Widow, and she's got the little wrist gun. It's kind of like pew pewing all by her, and they just don't look like they care.
Yeah, Black Widow has no skill, like no abilities aside from like being hair. Like a badass spy, right? I mean,
yeah.
Psylocke is like both like a ninja and a psychic. She's bringing the other ladies bring to the table.
It's a pretty bad matchup there.
Yeah.
That's Ms. Marvel and Rogue.
Yeah.
Ms. Marvel.
It kind of shows how they're positioning this type of women in comics right now.
Yeah.
That she happens to be like, you know, one leg up, her ass straight at the comic book cover.
Her torso turned toward the viewer somehow or another.
So you can see the boobs.
There's that great spoof of like, what if the poses were swapped? So it had like Hulk just grabbing his ass cheeks.
Oh yeah,
at camera. Oh yeah, that was pretty great. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter what. I'm with Spider-Man.
There's always one other like really weird matchup. It's like the Hulk guy who's you know pretty good with a bow and arrow, like probably the best person ever with a bow and arrow. And he's fighting Cyclops.
Yeah.
And what Cyclops can do is he can, like, destroy everything by looking at it.
And anything.
Yeah. I'm just thrown by the whole Wolverine and Captain America thing, because they're actually starting off on the same side on this.
Cap looks like he's about to cry.
Yeah.
What a world.
I think he knows he's fucked. Oh, man. He's so mad.
Man, whoever drew that did not read comics the Marvel way.
Yeah, old Stanley classic.
I just noticed the Gambit one. God,
Gambit looks gumped up. Like, what is his deal?
Yeah, but what happened to Spider-Woman's legs?
I don't know.
Turned into twigs.
She's part Mr. Fantastic. I don't know. I mean,
and her torso is like weirdly shaped and long. Yeah. It like bends at the back.
It's not even that clear that they're fighting each other in this one.
No.
They're just posing for Mr. Olympia. Yeah. And like they just put side by side.
All right, well, enough talking about things that you can't see with your eyes. We're going to take a break.
That's right. Welcome back to episode 83. We've got a few more questions, then we're going to kind of go over what we've been playing, if it's been anything different from what we've been
playing. Which Nelson Mark's been playing.
Dang! All right.
This is like no other podcast you've heard before.
Out of all the podcasts I've ever heard, this is definitely one of them.
10 out of 9.
117 out of 12.
All right, our friend Jeremy Tessier.
We're just calling him Dream.
When we were looking,
what?
Did he join the Nation of Islam when we weren't looking?
I don't know. I have a friend named Jeremy, but it's spelled J-E-R-E-M-E, and I just always call him Dream. Like, anyways, Pork007, French Canadian guy, he says, "Hello, Nutribeard. Do you think I'm a game designer?" Okay, thanks. And to him, I say, until you complete Buttman, the RPG, you are not a game designer.
That's right. That's a good point. That's a good distinction. I consider a game designer someone who has put out a finalized product.
Butt-related game.
Yeah, a butt-related game. So there's not many on the planet.
Nope.
You know.
Basically, the Chowanika guys and Chowman. Yeah.
Yep. But no. But seriously, you should do what you do. You should make games and
yeah, man,
and do them. That's and true. Then Mike Lemieux from the Jumpcast
fame
from the Jumpcast. Pooty 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 pooty. He asks, if then why?
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So can we go to the Jumpcast and just like shit on his?
Right.
This is like the worst question.
If Bakuman, then why Naruto?
Fuck you.
Why does Inuyasha? I don't know what Inuyasha even does.
Kagome. Why does Inuyasha Kagome?
Yeah.
Why nope. Naruto instead of Naru from?
Ooh. Oh. That was a good one. Yeah, why Ichi go and why not Ichi stop?
That was the same basic joke.
Yeah, that was the point. I was just expanding outwards upon it.
1 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
Oh man.
We can only hope this is the last joke from Brian Bolita.
We can only hope the treads of joking.
Brian, one joke, Bolita.
Oh man.
This is gonna be a boring podcast from now on. I'm not gonna make any jokes. Stop laughing.
You're just gonna
I'm serious. Stop laughing.
You're gonna sit there cross armed.
Wait it.
Just pout.
Welcome back to the Nitro Beard Serious Cast.
Welcome back to the stupid cast for stupid heads.
Wes just took it to 5th grade.
That's right.
For 5 years.
Out on the segment, who pokes their poop? Let's go around and ask who pokes their poop.
Probably your daughter.
Yeah, she kind of does. And she'll realize it afterwards. Like, she'll use the bathroom and it smells really bad, and we're like, oh, God in heaven. And then she'll look around, and then she'll smell it and be like, ugh. And I'm like, I would be crying too if I shit myself, little one.
Matt, isn't your kid due any day now?
Yeah, I'm kind of on baby watch now.
Yeah, I figured. Well, that's good. Good luck.
That feeling.
May your baby be born on May 3rd, a wonderful day, for that was the day I was born.
Oh, interesting. But I was kind of lucky on that regard, because we just went to the follow-up appointment, and he was like, why don't we induce tonight? And I was like, that way I could make phone calls and get it all situated. There was no scary time of, like, we're grocery shopping and her water breaks or something.
Maybe he just had something he needed to do later.
Yeah, he was like, you know, like, it's not too good for me,
I don't want to miss my tee off time.
Yeah, it's like gotta fill up my car with gas. And but
yeah. So yeah, thanks for the question, Mike.
Yeah,
we're not gonna make any jokes anymore from now on, ever.
Ever. Thanks. And I have a few questions here from our good friend Salathus. Good old Sal, Uncle Sal. What other names can come up with Sal? Cousin Sal. Jimbo Sal asks.
Stop this right now. Ask his questions. No jokes.
No. What is this?
You this call these jokes?
Stand up, hour. What's the
jokes and puns?
What's the best question you guys have ever received? Ever.
I straight off, I just went for the one where we calculated however many kids we could fend off. Like, was it 8-year-olds or 11? I don't remember.
Yeah, there was that one. My favorite is the one about the bus. Remember that one? The bus going down a hill and you had to save the village, or there was like Pringles in it or something.
Wasn't there like a village of like Smurfs or...
Yeah.
It's something in the way.
And yeah, and it was going to crash into something. But the Smurfs could stop it, but it would save the lives of other people. It was some big conundrum.
Oh, no, here it comes.
This is a big conundrum, but I like that one. There you go.
That was my favorite question.
And do you guys have any other favorites that you can think of? I'm really fond of that time that Salathus asked what our favorite question was.
That was the answer he was looking for.
Yeah. I fed right into it. Wes Gardner of Nitro Beard feeds into what the viewers want. Rated 10 out of 9. And let's see. He also asked, what plans do you have to better engage your audience in the coming year.
Now, Sal actually left some pretty good feedback on, I think it was the Behind the Beard entry. I don't remember what it was, though, because I'm terrible, but I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, again. We actually got a whole lot of really good feedback. One of those, ironically, said that the Beard Bag Mailbag episodes aren't very engaging. So, essentially, we've wasted the
last... Admittedly, I think we probably spent the first half of this talking about old video games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think what Sal was trying to get at in the end was that we need to be more controversial so we get people mad on the internet, because those are truly the people that are compelled to post.
No, that's kind of a good point. Like, I can't believe the bullshit they said. And then go on Kotaku and be like, oh, can you believe these guys? But then they'll do that on 30 articles.
Can you believe these guys don't love Japan?
Oh. Just fuming hatred.
Yeah. What was this question?
One week we should just do very controversial.
We engage the readers. I don't know. I mean, I guess we could more formally put out that we, you know, are occasionally open to posting a guest review. You know, if there's anybody interested in writing a thing about video games, or really anything in general, I don't know. I mean, that's one way we could engage the audience. I don't know. I mean, I don't really care about engaging them. We're just pushing information out.
Nobody listens to this.
We don't engage. No.
I mean, I don't know what this is even, or why we do this. Nobody's here. Nobody's listening to this right now.
Hello?
It's a big void. It's a big black room that we're talking into. The black hole of our souls.
No, it's not funny. No jokes.
Like, anytime there's a joke said, you're like, bad joke.
Stop it. That's a good question. Maybe good
question.
How would you like to be engaged, readers?
Let's ask you this question to hopefully engage the reader. But that's a truthful deal is. There has to be, you know, and, you know, we think that the mailbag beard bag does a decent job, you know, gets people kind of as part of the show and things like that. But Brian brought up a good point about writing guest editorials, because look at it this way. Matt Pierce got his start writing about Rage. We liked it well enough, he got brought on full time. See what I'm saying?
Full time.
Full time.
That's right. Making the big bucks.
Also, if you join Nacho Bear, there's a higher possibility you're going to get married and impregnate a woman.
Yeah.
That's right. That is. Yep, what are we? We're sitting at 3 out of 5? Well, four out of six. I sadly forget about Tyler sometimes. He doesn't join us as often, but I see him tweet now and again. I know he just had his second daughter.
That's right.
So congrats to him. I don't know if we mentioned that in the last cast. But so yeah, we're sitting at 4 out of 6 nitrobeaters. So if you're looking to, you know, get fertile, maybe have some babies, come on down.
We got the cure.
Nitrotown.
The cure for what ails you. Literally.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. It sounded nice, sort of. All right. What have we been playing, guys? I know I've played the hell out of some Diablo 3 open beta. And that shit is good.
Does progress roll over when the actual game comes out? No.
Usually what Blizzard does, I think they officially said that nothing is going to roll over on this this part of it. But what sometimes they do is if you participate in the beta, you'll get like what's called a feat of strength. It's an achievement with no points, basically. And it's kind of...
What is that, like a pair of shoes?
Yeah.
No, that's
not a joke. Strength. I'm serious. A pair of shoes.
Well, no, it's like just an emblem. Like in whenever I got the collector's edition of StarCraft, I got a feat of strength in World of Warcraft, saying that I bought StarCraft.
Right. So well, and that's like a lot of things. Like a lot of Kickstarter for especially video games. A lot of the times, like the higher pledge levels would be like, you know, special in-game power available only to backers. So just kind of little perks like that, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's, I don't know, I was kind of at the point, like, sure, I could play the beta and sink some time into it. I mean, I've already bought it, you know, and the progress wouldn't go anywhere. So I figured I'm going to be playing it soon enough and I might as well put that time into playing some other things.
It's very, very good. The only thing I've kind of noticed is what is the deal with, just the whole games industry, not only the fans of games, but, you know, people that play them, but also journalists have this mentality. Okay, they said, this is the very first part of the first act on normal difficulty, so it's going to be really easy. But the point isn't to be hard, you know, for the beta to be difficult. We just want you to play around with the stuff, kind of get a feel for the game, things like that. So enjoy. And the first forum thing, this game's real easy. I hope the game's not this easy, because then I won't buy it. You're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
The same thing happens is like, okay, if you go to E3 and there's a press only panel, and then someone comes out and he's like, all right, guys, this is our game coming out next year. This is our beta. We're showing it right now. You know, all this stuff is not finalized. You know, we're still going through optimization. You know, but we hope you enjoy what you see. And then they show the 10-minute infograph thing, and you know, people can play it. And then the first question is some guy, excuse me, the frame rate looks kind of bad. Is that the frame rate that's going to come out on release? You're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I wanted to just one of the first things you mentioned there. I meant to send you a message over Twitter when I saw you mentioned something about it. I guess you were asking about thoughts about Diablo 3 and the beta.
Yeah.
And I want to mention the Grim Dawn Kickstarter, which is another action RPG made by Crate Entertainment, which is made up from some of the Iron Lord guys who made Titan Quest, the Immortal Throne. But there are, and somewhat sadly, a lot of people kind of in the comment section for the Grim Dawn Kickstarter who are kind of using this as an outlet to bitch and moan about Diablo 3. Mm-hmm. Which A, doesn't help anyone. If anything, that probably kind of fractures anyone who's like, oh, I like Diablo 3, I might like Grim Dawn. And then they come on and they see a lot of people kind of tearing apart Diablo 3 and then just, you know, immediately hold that against Grim Dawn and not the commenters.
Right, I know what you mean.
So there are a lot of people doing that and kind of who, you know, I think there was actually one guy that said, right, here we go. And this guy's been leaving a lot of comments on this page. I've been kind of looking at it off and on. We're counting on you and have faith in you. Like talking about Crate Entertainment and the Grim Dawn game. And that goes back to like my whole mentality about how Kickstarter and especially video game project, anybody who's kind of contributing to that has these kind of thoughts that it's going to be magical. They help make this. It's going to be better than it actually may be. Don't get me wrong. I hope it's a great fucking game, but,
yeah.
But you know, if you maybe weren't pleased by Diablo 3, you should check out Grim Dawn. They're doing a lot of stuff different.
Yeah.
And especially with what you mentioned about, you know, well, the first level is so easy. Grim Dawn's whole mentality is like you can wander into a level 25 area when you're level 1 right off the bat.
Right.
Like you'll get fucked up, you'll get messed up, but they're not going
to
stop you.
Yeah, they're not going to. So, which is cool. That's a great way to go about it. And I think there are a lot of true complaints, especially if Diablo 3 is kind of people's first foray into the new Battle.net system. I saw a ton of things on Twitter to where people were pissed that they could not log into their single-player game because the
server. Right, I remember I saw a lot of people, and I think, like, you know, Blaze Hedgehog, and I think, I'm blanking on his name right now, Steve Gaynor, one of the Idle Thumbs regulars, he was like, you know, this is great when, you know, Living Age, try to log in, and I can't play this single-player game.
Right.
Because I can't connect.
Which is
a valid complaint.
That is a valid complaint, yeah. Totally. And I mean, there's really no excuse for it. I still complain about that with StarCraft. And I think the main difference with it makes more sense to have an online, always online thing. I mean, there are offline modes, and there's going to be an offline mode in Diablo, but you won't get achievements that way. There's a few other things they disable whenever you're in offline mode. But yeah, the whole new Battle.net system is kind of weird. It does have always online stuff, so it's sort of like Steam as far as DRM is concerned, to where you can chat with people, you can add friends, block people, do public chat rooms, things like that. So they have good features, and it's also because of the real money auction house, because you can actually use real PayPal money to buy stuff in the game, like from other people. Yeah. But you can also sell stuff for real money, too. So they need to keep pretty good track of that. But the actual game itself is fantastic. It is extremely good. And yeah, Torchlight 2 coming out, Grim Dawn. There's a few other ones too that
Torchlight 2 is a little bit unfortunately timed. I think a while ago I mentioned this, but if you'd have told me that Diablo 3 was going to come out before Torchlight 2, I would have told you were crazy.
Yeah.
They're so stupid.
Think it'll do fine.
It would have done better before Diablo.
Months before. Well, no, absolutely. But I don't know. I think there are a lot of people that maybe never played Diablo 2 because there was such a big gap between 2 and now 3.
Yeah.
And I have said maybe lean towards more favoritism towards Torchlight, because maybe that's the one that they played in the interim.
Right.
I can't imagine it's intentional. I think that they got too much content and they got way behind, and they're trying to just cover up for it as best they can.
Or they didn't think Blizzard would get the game done.
Nobody. We were talking about Diablo 3 in 2013.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And which they were talking about Torchlight 2 in 2011, which is what they should have stuck to. But they've gone far beyond their own scope. I hope that's the reason. And
it should be. It seems like they want everything to work out of the box, and that's
fair. I hope they don't suffer too much. I think it being on Steam will help. I think Diablo 3 kind of being its own thing and Battle.net and also $60 is probably a detriment to a lot of people who are assuming, you know, Torchlight will be lower price. It'll be on Steam. So, but yeah, absolutely, it's going to hurt them a little bit. I just hope not too much. I think they'll both do fine.
Yeah.
No one's ever made more money waiting for people to get tired of a Blizzard game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's absolutely right.
And I mean, there's even it's funny you talked about how on the Grim Dawn page there were people just there to like berate Diablo.
Right. I mean, they're doing it like there's another one I wanted to read. Sorry. So yeah, after the disappointment that Diablo 3 beta was, I'm putting all my hopes on you guys. Yeah. And that's kind of unfair to the Grim Dawn guys.
Totally unfair, because what was he disappointed about? He doesn't even go into detail. But it's funny, every time a new massively multiplayer game comes out, you'll see a bunch of people log on. Like, okay, yeah, Rift came out. Oh, this is so much better than WoW. Oh, my God. Oh. Right.
And it just goes MMO to MMO.
Right. But then 3 months later, they're back to World of Warcraft and saying in WoW chat, God, WoW is so boring. What the fuck is this game about? Oh, God. I can't stand this game.
You were channeling a little bit of Tommy Wiseau from The Room there.
Oh,
I don't know what it was. There was just
come on, Mark.
Oh, hi.
But the
sad part is that they're in World of Warcraft not because they want to play the game, but because that's the only way they can communicate with their friends anymore.
Pretty much. It has become Facebook. It is a Facebook game, just without Facebook. You know what I mean? Like,
it's Farmville. Netrebeard.com's Wes Gardner says, World of Warcraft is Farmville.
Wes Gardner says, help me find some gold for my farm.
Please buy my axe on Real Money Auction House.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, if you're interested in action RPG set in like Victorian era that looks really neat, kind of open world and a lot of stuff, and you enjoyed Titan Quest, go to grimdawn.com and they got a link to their Kickstarter there. Go send some money their way. It's looking like they'll probably make their target. They got 25 days left, although it's kind of slowed down. I really want to see this thing like exceed and do much better than their actual set goal. So go throw some money their way. I guarantee you will not regret it. Go watch the video. It's a really, really genuine guy, really good video, and deserving of your money, methinks.
Cool.
Something Van Damme movie.
Indeed. Is there anyone else been playing anything in specific?
I've been playing Witcher 2 on the 360.
Yes.
And it's very weird to say for a game that looks that nice, but parts of it are really, really unpolished.
Yeah, I mean, do you mean as far as mechanics go, or?
I mean stuff like, there was a quest that I could not complete because I talked to an elf, and generally when you leave monster remains behind, they'll stay there, but I agreed to go somewhere with the elf, and then I went back to go get the remains, and this is a monster you can only fight once in that chapter, and if you go past that chapter, the quest that you need to fight him for fails. So I went back, could not find the stuff. And so the quest is screwed. I could never finish it then. There's another quest in the next chapter where the guy just didn't trigger to show up. Like, this quest I'm referring to is you're taking a guy to go meet some wraiths that have been haunting him. And, like, you're supposed to meet him at the beach at midnight. And I just kept going there, and he would not show up. So I don't know what it is about Western RPGs, but they're kind of glitchy, and it's kind of getting on my nerves.
Right.
I am shocked that a Russian-developed game would be unpolished and janky and broken.
Well, they're Polish, so logically they should be good at polish.
Right? Oh, I see what you did there.
I'll allow that joke, because I'm part Polish.
But, I mean, the game's really good, I guess. It annoys me when I get to a point where I cannot finish a quest because something doesn't trigger or something disappears.
Yeah. And see, it's fascinating you bring that up, because that same type of problem happens with Stalker, which is also, it may not be, it might be Polish made. I'm not too sure.
I'm pretty sure that's straight Russian.
Is it Russian, Swedish, something like that? But I think it brings up the point on why that happens, is in those games, you make very important choices, but the choices aren't like a dialogue option. The choices are act long. You know, they take a while to blossom. Like, the choices aren't, oh, well, you need to either save this baby or eat this baby. It's more of, you learn about the family heritage in Act 1, Act 2, this happens, Act 3, this happens, and Act 4, you make the penultimate decision, but everything you did up until that point has made your consequence already. And stuff like that can hinder a game, especially if it's built on a lot of scripting. But I would much prefer that rather than the, well, it seems like you helped out this orphanage of the Flaming Bus of Orphan Children. Here's your blue points, Star Wars guy.
I love blue points.
It's like, oh, here's your red points, Mr. Evil Man. Like, that just seems really archaic. But
I do like how much gray is in Witcher 2 decisions.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's not a good decision, but there is a best decision. You know, it gets kind of hairy, especially some of that stuff. And, I mean, there's really basic, I can't remember if it was in Witcher 1 or Witcher 2, but like really subtle storytelling. Like, there's a rose that you carry. It might have been in Witcher 1. A rose that you carry, and as you go, if you're making bad decisions, the rose starts to whittle away. But no one ever explains it to you. Like, just really cool stuff like that. But not a lot of games do that. So I have
also, like, this game, the map is just the worst thing in the world. I can never find... Like, they'll show paths that say, okay, where you logically want to be is here. Mm-hmm. But then you'll go there, and there'll just be bushes in the way, or a wall that is not on the map at all. Or, like, some sort of in-game, even, like, a point on the map that shows up on your mini-map, that would be fine. But for some reason, there's a lot of the game that just, okay, here's your quest, now go figure it out.
Yeah.
Which I understand for realism and, to some extent, game design, but there's a give and take here. As a player, I feel like they're taking a little too much.
Right. I mean, because it's very much a game to where you have to ask around. And
yeah, but sometimes, like, asking around does not give you any information.
Yeah.
Like, you're just there was one quest where I had to chase down a female elf trader, and she happened to be in a ruined hospital hidden in a corner somewhere.
Yeah.
And there's no way to know that. I was just there for another quest, and then I saw her there.
Every RPG should take a look at Outcast on the PC. Old game, I think from like 96.
Is that the one with the dude with the visor and the ostriches?
Yep.
Yes.
But you could ask any character where to find whatever character you needed to find for your quest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was relatively believable. I mean, if you weren't anywhere near him, they'd say, well, he's not around here. I think it was, like, somewhere to the north. And, you know, you could narrow it down. But at least they could point you in remotely the right direction.
Yeah, the Might and Magic games were like that, too. They were really good about it. You could just kind of pick it from the drop-down menus. Like, where's Professor Snugglekins? And it's like, well, I've heard he's in the mountain range. And you're like, which one? There's only two of them. And they get marked on your map, and you're like...
You decide.
It's like, all right.
But, well, see, I mean, like, some sort of context clues would be great. Like, that previous example of the girl running off to the ruins. If she had said something earlier in the quest about the old hospital ruins being a hideout for these sort of things, or somebody said something like that, I would know to check there. There was a really good quest, like I was saying, the wraiths that were trying to murder that guy.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I knew they were lying about the guy trying to kill them earlier in life is because there were three female wraiths, and I found three gravestones, and one of them was a guy's name.
Yeah.
So I knew that they didn't know that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's super subtle. And
see, that stuff is fine, but the quest design isn't consistent across all of that.
Right. But that's kind of weird, because I don't remember it. I don't remember that type of thing happening on the PC version. Did you play? You played through the PC version? I'm curious if this is a problem with the console one, or...
I I think I was only like halfway through chapter one in the PC version.
Okay.
And now I'm in middle of chapter two. We're close to the end.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm gonna start replaying it soon. So I'll get to where you're at and see if.
It's just there's a couple of quests that are like this that they assume you have information that you don't necessarily have because it's, say, in a book that you've already put into storage or sold.
Oh, that's true. I mean, because look at it this way. The Enhanced Edition added something to tell you what a Witcher is.
Yeah.
And it's like, the game's called The Witcher. Like, why don't I know this immediately, what a Witcher is?
The tutorial is actually very, very appreciated. As someone that even knows how to play the game from the PC, there's apparently a lot I didn't understand.
Yeah, like, it's pretty in-depth.
Armor enhancements were something that I didn't get until they actually told me outright. And even then, they don't really tell you a whole lot, like, everything you need to know. They expect you to just sort of pick it up as you go.
Yeah. Which is kind of cool, but, yeah, it is kind of nice. I'm interested to see what they do in the tutorial. But, yeah. Anything else anyone's been playing?
Matt, did you want to talk about a thing?
Arcade? Nothing new playing, but a lot of old playing. I went to Barcade in Jersey City.
Yeah.
And was kind of, I had my 80s nostalgia glasses shattered right in front of me.
Oh.
There are a couple of games that still held up pretty okay. I assume The Simpsons would have, but there was a line for that machine.
Nope, it doesn't.
As long as
isn't
it's
on
cute.
XBLA now, anyway, so.
Yeah.
That's not a point, though.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun playing the old Atari Vector games on an actual Vector monitor. It's a weird, indescribable look to them that you just can't replicate.
It's got that ghosty feel to them.
No, there's no pixels at all. All the lines are perfectly straight.
Right, but it's it has like the Afterglow to them, like the early ones did anyway, like,
No, these were pretty clean.
Okay.
Joust held up. Joust is still great. But Double Dragon is not. Double Dragon is not a very good game at all.
I think most of those 2D beat-em-ups from that era are kind of actually bad video games.
Yeah.
I don't think that entire genre became worthwhile until Final Fight. And then basically people realize what they need to be doing with it and create actual games.
I think what drives me nuts is that I mentioned on Google Plus of all places that I really don't like the way that those games were clearly designed just to suck all your quarters away.
Mm-hmm.
Because you continue exactly where you left off, so there's no real consequence for dying except you lose a quarter.
Right.
And someone comes back with, oh, that's when that's when video games were great, when real skill mattered.
But it didn't, like, because it was always just a way of getting money out of you. There was no way to win those games. There's no way to become like good enough where you couldn't spend money.
Well, also, as kids, we had like much better tolerance for that sort of thing, so it made a game seem like it was worth it that we took 4 months to beat it because it was bullshit.
Yeah, and we couldn't just turn around and say, this is bullshit, and then play a 10 times better game on our cell phone.
Or anything, because we get, like, one game every 3 months.
Yep. Yeah. But, I found out I'm very bad at Arkanoid with an actual dial control. So I'm too used to using a mouse like Wizorb. But, I also found out that broken joysticks are a very terrible, terrible thing.
How frequent was that?
Only like two of them in the place had wonky joysticks. Like the one for Donkey Kong worked, but only sort of. You know. And Frogger, you couldn't step back. You could only move forward.
Wasn't
stepping back kind of the point?
Yeah. That's kind of important in Frogger.
It's Nightmare Frogger. You only go one direction.
I actually saw some guys, I think in New York, like created a Frogger game that actually uses a camera to pull live traffic from some intersection in New York.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Anyone else been playing anything worthwhile?
I've been playing Trine 2, Brian.
Oh, hey, I've been playing that too, Imran.
Oh, neat. by chance, you guys wouldn't have like any proof of this, would you?
A video playthrough per se?
Oh, that'd be pretty nice.
Yes, we've been playing it, and we're, it, as usual, our game breaking and abusing ways are in full action. I think
we got way too excited when we found the ball.
Oh man, yeah, we found this ball, and we were like, oh man. It's just a thing we can roll around, and we just have flashbacks of playing Lara Croft and the Bomb Balls of Light. Working title, by the way.
Yeah.
and I think within 10 minutes we realized that the wizard, you can get a power that you can kind of levitate and grab enemies, and that after they die, if you each grab a side of his corpse, you can like stretch and completely break the polygons that make up that character model.
Awesome.
It's really kind of grotesque when you see it.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. So we've been playing that, and I've got the first episode almost ready. It'll probably go up, I think, tomorrow night, because we'll have the Beardcast going up tonight, and we'll let that do its run. And then tomorrow night, start releasing episodes, probably on like a level-to-level basis, and like every other day or something, I don't know. We haven't actually finished the game, so we'll probably end up staggering it, so we don't overwhelm you with all of our trying to game-breaking ways.
Good deal.
Yep.
That'll be exciting. And you guys will have to teach me the art of streaming, because I tried to do some streaming stuff for Diablo. It's just...
Blame the servers.
I'm thinking that's exactly what it was, because my upload speed is like 35 megs. Like, my download speed's outrageous. My upload speed is almost as good, but I still wasn't getting like any consistent speeds from the server itself, so...
It takes a while to tweak it to get it just right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But all right, I think that does it for episode number 83 of the Beardcast. Thank you, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure. And next week, we'll be back with your regularly scheduled podcast. That's right.
It's not funny.
Stop those jokes.
You better stop those jokes on that next Beardcast. All right. Remember to read Computer and Video Games, the magazine that real gamers read, and listen to Nitro Beard Beardcast, the podcast that... Not funny gamers.
Rated 87 out of 12.
Keep reading with your eyes, people.
That's right. Thank you.